agenda items. If you'll please fill out the comments form so we can keep you, you know, in line with everyone else, that would be very nice. Yes, and after you fill one out, if you provide it to the clerk, that would be excellent.
Yes.
We're going to begin the Wednesday, December 11th, regular council meeting. The first thing is a call to order. We have Connie Breeze telephonically attending. We have Mike Shields, Don Greiner, Mike Harper, myself, Daniel Richard, present. We do have a quorum. Will you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Okay, do we have any other added agenda items other than the robotics group? The robotics group. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to take initial public comments. These would be ones that do not pertain to any public hearing or agenda item that we have on our agenda. I did not see any listed here, just I would ask, are there any other public comments? Okay, thank you so much. So the next thing we're going to do is we're going to present the consent agenda, which has the minutes of the regular session of November 13th, council and staff reimbursements, a planning commission appointment of Kathy Van Dam, and I think that's pretty much it for our consent agenda tonight.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve the consent agenda.
Do we have a second on the consent agenda?
A second, Bob.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda?
Aye.
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 Thank you so much, Connie. Consent agenda approved. We're going to move into our additional agenda item, or number seven, other matters, which is our local robotics group. If you would please have your spokesperson approach the bench up here and state your name and where you're from.
Anyone else?
Who are you from?
Oh, from Lapine Middle School. I don't know.
Thank you so much. I remember we invited you to come back, and, you know, and I'm very happy to see you here tonight.
And we're really excited to come back because our theme here is all about cities and city planning, so it was perfect.
Thank you so much. Maybe you might just speak into the microphone a little better, but yes. I think it's
not working.
Oh, they are working.
Hi.
Thank you so much. That way for the recording.
Got it. So are you ready to see our presentation?
We're ready.
Okay, you might not hear the children. I'll remind them to talk loud.
Want to step forward?
Yeah, bring them up front.
Thank you so much.
Over here.
It's tight.
Okay.
Those are, that's our robot. We program to do our missions at our competition. So that is what you guys helped us buy last year. So we're very happy to have that. And then we would like to do a presentation for you. So you guys have to do this. So sorry, all right, you guys, you're the one with, this is a big one. Okay, please excuse our reading because we had last minute changes, so we're going to just do the best we can.
Oh, you're great, don't worry.
All right,
Did you hear that they got rid of the skate park?
Yeah, that really stinks. Some dumb business is moving in. The city just gave away the land. They beat up all the kids on the playground. It's not like we have a swimming pool to go to.
Where are you going? I don't know. They took the skate park away.
Really, Dana? They moved it by a park network. It's only temporary.
I saw this temporary.
That's one of the plans for the parents to have the kind of teachers.
Like a real concrete dome?
Yeah, but we need to save up money and find ways to make it sustainable.
All right, let's go check it out.
Yeah, go with mine. It's the best one.
Well, yeah, it's better than giving words to story kids on the playground.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful. If the city in the future can ever help your program, please don't hesitate to confront us again.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We'll get out of the way.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You guys were awesome.
Thank you. Very impressive. Ken did a great job.
The robots. Awesome.
I know. Come play with that. I love it.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Okay, so our next item on the agenda is number 8. And this will be a public hearing on ordinance 2019-10. I would like to, read a statement. This part of the agenda during which the council will hear citizen statements regarding city business, speakers will be limited to 3 minutes each. When you are called to speak, please state your name and whatever agency you represent and whether you live within the city. Because of information provided during public comment, maybe new to some councilors, comments may require a follow-up and be addressed at a later date. So what I would like to do is call to order our public hearing on ordinance 2019-10. Do any of the Lapine City Council members wish to abstain or declare a conflict of interest or report ex parte? Myself, I would like to make a statement that I've had interactions with one of the parties that will be directly involved with this ordinance, but there was no conflict of interest as I discussed with the Oregon Ethics Commission. The person I discussed this with was Susan Myers of Oregon.gov. And any questions about this could be directly referred to her. Other than that, I there may be perceived a conflict of interest, but no direct conflict of interest. So do we have a staff report?
Excuse me, good evening, council. Before you is ordinance number 2019-10. As you are aware, this ordinance is intended to clarify the dispensary and business location restrictions contained in the medical marijuana TPM ordinance as well as the recreational marijuana ordinance. It's also intended to ensure that the city's measurements are uniformly applied and consistent with state law.
Thank you so much. We're going to open our public comments section. Do we have any other additional public comments? Okay, so I'm going to take our public comments in the order that I received them. Gloria Fleming.
Gloria Fleming. I live on Deer Forest outside the city. At the time that this original ordinance was put in, I was in charge of the Planning Commission and I worked on the ordinance. This city, we had an election and the results were very close as to people wanting the recreational medical marijuana and those that did not. So we were extremely careful. We did not receive any direction from the state. Unlike liquor laws, the state had, they have their controls, which we had no say in. And the only way we had any kind of control was to set up placement and hours of operation. Basically, those were the only options that we had. And that's why we came up with the 1,000-foot ruling for the to have them away from parks and schools. My concern, I wasn't aware of the, I read the whole thing, but I really didn't understand it. But my concern was proliferation. For a city this small, where we only have one liquor store, the only way we could control would be to have some limitations on location. And I understand there's two, there was three, but for an area this size, I don't think we want to have a whole lot of store. So that was my concern, that the removal or the change of this would allow more proliferation, but I misunderstood. So I don't, if it's clarification, I don't really have as much of a concern. I just wanted everybody to know where we came from and how we got to that in the first place, why we set it up the way we did. That's all.
Thank you. Is there any staff comments for that? Thank you so much. So our next comment would be Jill Toffler.
Jill Tedford. I live outside of city limits, but I do own and operate a dispensary right across the street here. I kind of just wanted to say my own personal thoughts too. I feel, I've been up here a couple times regarding marijuana rules in this town, and I feel like it was a strict rule set in place for that reason. For the reason being that our city didn't want to see us have too many shops, in this small little town. And I don't like doing this. I find it very, strange, I guess, that you guys could just read that ruling any way that you wanted to interpret it instead of the way that it reads as that 1,000-foot boundary line. And really, to me personally, I feel that it's being declared an emergency and doing all these things just to favor one business. And I feel like, would you interpret that language had it been a school? You know, these are, yes, it's just right now dispensary to dispensary what you're changing. But I even heard Jeremy Green talk when we were up here about the, you know, the marijuana tax, that cities can make their own rules. They don't have to go by what the state law says. And I feel that 1,000-foot rule was put in place so that we don't have too many shops in town. I, for one, think, you know, I go to Salem a lot. I'm up in Bend a lot. There's so many. It's like, to me, it's almost even kind of trashy looking when there's, you know, one right next to each other. And I feel like this ordinance, especially declaring an emergency like this, is just, it really feels like it's favoring just this one business. And they're a chain, you know, this will be their second one in town, their fourth in Central Oregon. I feel like it takes away from that small town feeling. I also, we tried to get records requests. We haven't got those yet, but another thing we had heard, being at this new location that we were at, is that, you know, there would have been a couple people that had tried to get into our current location, and that they were verbally told no because of that ordinance. And so again, that goes even more against this, like, almost favoring this one business. And I feel personal almost to me because of that. And yeah, you know, we have called and talked to the city manager about a different ordinance here in town, and we were told by people that ordinances can be changed. They can be changed if they are bettering all businesses, the city, the community, but not just bettering one business. And I feel like this is, you know, being declared an emergency to help this one business. And I really just want everybody to take into consideration that this could be, you know, you're shrinking the size 30% or more, which could be meaning, you know, way more shops in town, not just this one opening that we're questioning why we're doing this ordinance change on. There could be more than that opening this up. And, you know, I've also heard of two others that have been trying to open in town. So we're looking at almost five shops in our little town if these all go through and everything. And I think it's too much. I think that maybe community members might not like that. And I just want you to take into consideration all of that and not just think about one business.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, our next public comment is William Wardlow.
Thank you, good evening. My name is William Wardlow, and I live in Bend, Oregon. I'm an attorney representing HD Botanicals, LLC. And I respectfully request that I be allowed to provide copies of my statement and exhibits to the City Council so that they may become part of the record. I've provided the clerk with a copy for each of the council members. And thank you. HD Botanicals operates a recreational marijuana dispensary at 51366 Highway 97 in Lapine, right across the street. My client recently learned that another dispensary, Green Knots LLC, was issued a land use compatibility statement, or LUCS, allowing it to proceed with an application to the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, or OLCC, to open a second Lapine dispensary at 51456 Highway 97. Green Knots has an existing dispensary a few blocks north at 51546 Highway 97. On October 16, 2019, I sent a letter to City Attorney Jeremy Green, which included proof that the property line of Green Knots' proposed location is less than 1,000 feet from the property line of my client's current location, in violation of Section 6.9 of Ordinance Number 2016-10. When we spoke on the phone, Mr. Green stated that the city had interpreted the language of Section 6.9 to limit the scope of that ordinance to the actual premises of the marijuana retailer, not the boundary line of the real property upon which it sits. While that interpretation seems at odds with the language and intent of the ordinance, there was admittedly a small amount of plausibility to Mr. Green's interpretation. After further investigation, however, my client identified a second ordinance, 2017-01, which was implemented after 2016-10. Ordinance 2017-01 not only repeats the 1,000-foot limit between dispensaries set forth in Ordinance 2016-10, but leaves absolutely no doubt that the limit is measured from, quote, the closest point on the boundary line of the real property upon which the marijuana dispensary is proposed to be sited. And this is under Section 3C, when it says within 1,000 feet of another dispensary. This is explaining exactly what it means, and it leaves no doubt that it's from boundary line to boundary line. On October 24th, 2019, I emailed this additional information to the city attorney and asked that he confirm that the LUCS erroneously issued in favor of Green Knots LLC would be withdrawn. I provided a copy of this email to the counselors as well. My client never received any meaningful written response. After several weeks and reminders, Mr. Green eventually agreed to discuss the matter with me over the phone on November 12, 2019. During that call, the city attorney repeatedly stated that the city had, quote, interpreted the language of Ordinance 2017-01 to mean premises to premises, not property line to property line. Because of the carefully crafted language of 2017-01 Section 3C, leaves no room for interpretation, I repeatedly asked the city attorney to provide a legal basis for his claim. In spite of repeated requests, Mr. Green never articulated any legal foundation for his erroneous interpretation of the carefully crafted law of this city. Instead, Mr. Green boldly stated that my client's claims would be rendered moot because the city would amend the ordinance to redefine the 1,000-foot limitation as that from premises to premises rather than boundary line to boundary line. So I want to make three big points here. The first is that the city's published agenda for this session states that the proposed ordinance 2019-10 is quote, amending ordinance 2015-02 and ordinance number 2016-10, which ordinance has established time, place, manner restrictions concerning medical and recreational marijuana businesses. Neither the agenda nor the December 11, 2019 staff report, which includes the language of the proposed amendments, ever references the subsequent zoning ordinance 2017-01, which plainly states that the 1,000-foot buffer between marijuana dispensaries is measured from, quote, the closest point on the boundary line of the real property on which the marijuana dispensary is proposed to be sited. As such, even if the proposed amendments to the 2016 and 2015 TPM ordinances are adopted tonight, the LUCS issued in favor of Green Knots LLC still directly violates zoning ordinance 2017-01 and should therefore be immediately withdrawn. Second, failing to withdraw this LUCS in favor of Green Knot sets a very dangerous precedent. If the city uses the same logic to interpret the proposed amendments as City Attorney Jeremy Green claims it did with respect to zoning ordinance 2017-01, then nothing prohibits future marijuana dispensaries from being placed significantly closer to schools. The proposed amendments are meaningless in the face of a city attorney who does not acknowledge the plain language of the city's ordinances. My client respectfully requests that the council demonstrate to the public that it can be trusted to follow the letter of its own laws by withdrawing the LUCS erroneously issued in favor of Green Knots. Third, there's no reason to change the law. OLCC has advised my client that it does not consider local ordinances when issuing licenses. Nothing prevents the city from maintaining its existing ordinances. The proposed language, or the proposed amendments did not, quote, clarify restrictions on dispensaries because the language of all the current ordinances are in harmony. On the other hand, the proposed amendments to ordinances 2015-02 and ordinance 2016-10, if adopted, will be directly at odds with zoning ordinance 2017-01. As such, the city can and should immediately withdraw its LUCS in favor of Green Knots LLC for a second Lapine dispensary at 51456 Highway 97. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Our next public comment comes from April McDaniel.
My problem is, how many dispensaries are there right now currently in Lapine? Do we have very many?
There are only two.
Okay. So, I just think I've been here 25 years. I am a business owner. And I just think for the size that Lapine is currently.
Do you live inside of Lapine?
No, I don't.
Thank you so much.
I think currently the size Lapine is and the dispensaries that we have right now, they're doing a great job for people that are interested in CBD and cannabis. I don't see changing the ordinance. I don't think that's right. I think we need to keep it the same. I think the rules need to remain the same. I would just hate to see us like open this thing wide open and then all of a sudden we have a bunch of them. Lapine, the city of Lapine itself is still pretty small, like when you actually drive through it. So, you know, maybe downtown is a mile long or something. I would just hate to see dispensary after dispensary and that's what people get as a view as they come through Lapine. And again, the dispensaries that are here currently, they're doing an adequate job serving the people that need those types of services. So I'm opposed to it. I think it needs to stay where it's at and let's not let this thing get. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, so if that's all of our public comments, we're going to close our public hearing at this time. And we're going to do council deliberation. I would ask, do we have any comments, Mike Shields?
Big class was still something like just 8 people in the class. If they close to schools or whatever. Okay, but limit how many contractors, how many plumbers, how many electricians, or anything like that is. And the people have voted this thing and limiting them from certain locations like schools, whatever the case may be. That's just my
Don Greiner?
No comment.
Michael Harper?
We're in the process of changing our land use code, as you all know. It will be presented to the Planning Commission in January. Ultimately, it will be placed in front of you all for approval. So the conflict that exists in the land use code will no longer exist, assuming that the council approves the changes to the development code.
Okay, thank you so much. Connie, please. Okay, thank you so much. Was that it, Connie?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. My own private sentiments are that if the ordinances that we have don't work, then we need to change them so they're for the betterment of the entire community. And if we do change them, I feel that the change that we would provide for the benefit of the community should be in accordance with the state statutes and ordinances that that they provide. So in my opinion, if we can provide continuity with what the state says that their requirements are, whether that's language or distance or whatever, then that's what we should do so that it's kind of fair across the entire spectrum, whether it's medical or recreational marijuana. And that's all that I have to say about this. Do we have a motion to entertain on this?
Mr. Mayor, I move that the City of Lapine approve and adopt Ordinance Number 2019-10 and Ordinance of the City of Lapine amending Ordinance Number 2015-2 and Ordinance Number 2016-10, which ordinances establishes time, place, and manner, regulations for medical marijuana dispensaries and recreational marijuana businesses, respectfully, to amend the dispensary and business location restrictions of declaring an emergency.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote on this.
Oh, second that motion.
Oh, sorry. Do we have a second? Mike Shields. So we do have a first and a second on this. We'll have a roll call vote. Connie Breeze?
No, nay.
Mike Shields?
Aye.
Don Greiner?
Aye.
Mike Harper?
Aye.
All right, we have 3 ayes and 1 nay. Motion passes.
So to clarify, because it did not vote or pass by unanimous consent, we will have it at the next council meeting, on your next council meeting's agenda as well. You need unanimous consent to approve it at one meeting.
Thank you so very much for that clarification.
what Melissa is sharing with me is you do not have another meeting until January. So we may
into January.
So we may need to call a special meeting before then. But I'll let Melissa work out the logistics.
And proper notices will be sent out to everybody.
Absolutely.
Thank you so very much. Okay, so our next item on the agenda is number nine, a snow removal contract. Do we have a staff report on that, Jake?
You can have the staff report provided to you in the packet. I'll give you a brief summary. Recently, we have revamped our snow plowing contract with additions of a north and a south route. We split up the snow removal contract, hoping to achieve multiple vendors, having several contractors working within the town, making it to where being contractors could address snow as it came at a more efficient manner was our goal. Opening up that contract, we did receive two bids. However, one of the bidders wasn't sufficiently set up to tackle that route with the equipment provided in the contract. But I addressed that in there. The city has received two bids for the services, Dick Russell Construction and Family Heritage Builders. Also, the city received contractor information from Alpine Equipment to perform work on an as-needed basis during severe weather events. So we did open it up to see if we can get a list of contractors provided that we could pull from if there was severe or emergency events to where it's like, hey, we need some more contractors to help. I thought that was a nice addition to the snow removal contract. Based on the equipment detailed and outlined in the proposals, staff recommends that it is in the best interest of the city to utilize Dick Russell Construction to perform services for both routes within the city. We appreciate the interest from Family Heritage Builders with the proposal of one Kubota tractor with a snowblower, but we anticipate this will not be sufficient to perform the services of the time. City will reach out to Family Heritage Builders to inquire if their services can be better utilized during and as needed during severe weather events type service. I would suggest that a motion would be made to accept Dick Russell Construction for the 2019-20 renewal contract. And I'm open to questions.
Mike Shields?
I just have a I have that concern. We're talking about delivering the notices. I just wanted to wear that to the DMZ system and come to the sidewalk. What might be something like that?
Hey, thank you so much. Don Greiner?
I noticed, Jake, that you have seven pieces of equipment listed here. Are all of these pieces of equipment going to be available and be used at the same time, or will it be selected? And if so, what's the time frame of getting around on your primary, most important streets in town that have to be plowed?
So that's a list of equipment that can be utilized, not necessarily every event. It's all dependent on the severity of the storm, right? And that's going to be a factor as well as time for those routes. I wish I could give you a set time it's going to take based on a fixed amount of snow, but there's so many variables in that I can't give you a definitive timeline. If they could utilize all pieces of equipment during an event, I would anticipate the timeliness would be lower if we could utilize it all. But for us to have all those as listed under the contract, we know if they're going to use that, how much it's going to cost us. And we can manipulate and use as needed. Say, hey, I want these two road graders out. I want this plow truck out. I want a dump truck. Or don't utilize a dump truck. It's not needed. We know we can save a little bit of money on that aspect. But no, every time there's a snow event, not all those pieces of equipment are going to be utilized.
Is Crescent B contract or not?
Yes.
It is? I understood, well, I know that Crescent Creek was plowed hardly before the snow quit this time. The last time we didn't get plowed until after everything was melted. And the creek is under the impression that they paid for some of that. Evidently, they are supposed to have contracted with a snowplower to take care of it. Is that true, or
So our contractor did the main roads in there, but there's a few private roads or private or under jurisdiction of the HOA that our contractor will not plow. So specifically Hollingshead and Daisy.
Yeah. In other words, they did the primary routes outside school bus route.
Yes.
And they didn't do the rest.
No.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mike Hartman, do you have any comments?
No.
Connie Breeze, do you have any comments? Thank you so much. I don't really have any comments as long as it works and we don't end up inundated by snow, that life's good for our community.
I would like that. Any comments about the fairness of not realizing that a tractor, a Kubota tractor with a snow blower isn't sufficient? Does everybody agree on that aspect?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not trying to be unfair, I'm just trying to be reasonable.
Yes.
And I feel that in some instances, a little pickup of the blade is probably just as good as some instances when you're not buried also, you know, so there's no need to have an overkill and pay for something you don't need.
Sure, and then the size of that snow blower, the dimensions of it, they would have to make at least 3 to 4 passes to clear a road.
Don Greiner, do you have one more question, I don't mind?
I heard that there was a discussion about burns in front of people's driveways. Pile of snow that's left on the road that when they finish plowing, whatever you want to do, it's fine with me. But I was told that there was some discussion of trying to ask the person that's doing the plowing to not have a burn in front of a driveway. And, you know, each property owner has a responsibility, and whether we like it or not, can we afford to have somebody that's plowing stop and take time or swing around and take care of those burns? I don't think so. I think that's the owner's responsibility. And from what I was told, they had discussed with you the possibility of removing the burns. I'm wondering what happened.
So yeah, that's always been a discussion in the world of snow plowing or the history of it, correct? I've been with a couple other municipalities and pretty much have the foot down on no, the city will not be responsible for clearing berms in driveways.
Thank you.
Exactly. In my own experience, which I'm not a snow plower, but I've stood there many a times and have a snow plow go by. If you drive by at 30 miles an hour and you throw the snow into someone's driveway, that's a little different than slowing down at the driveway entrance and just kind of, you know, not putting it in the driveway. So I think there's a little bit of conscientiousness that should be discussed, you know, with the snow plowers.
I won't ask our contractor to go through and remove snow out of people's driveways. It won't happen. Has the city in the past, with some of our equipment, when there's been 4-foot to 5-foot berms in front of a couple driveways, have we removed those? Yes, we have. But I'm not going to put it in the contract form for the customers.
Correct. I understand that. Just maybe a little gracious, conscientious nature, you know, it would be nice to mention to them. Do we have a motion about this?
Yes, at the bottom of the staff report.
Mr. Mayor, I make the motion to accept the snow removal services.
I second that motion.
We have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
And I think I heard Connie in the midst of this, so I think that we have 4 ayes and no nays, so this motion is approved. I think that's pretty much for our agenda. We're going to open this up for one more round of public comments. Are there any public comments on the nature of these things we've just had? No? Then I'm going to open this up for staff comments.
I'll be brief. As you probably all are aware right now, I'm not feeling well. Do want to let you know, just to keep you informed, COIC recently wrote a grant it's convoluted, but they wrote a grant to get funds to help us write grants. So they wrote a grant to get money to help us get money. And so with that, they partnered, this was part of the Parks and Rec partnership too, so they also have funds now to help write a grant for a master plan for the Parks and Rec. They were awarded. And so I met with Janelle from COIC, and she and I came up with a list of potential projects to help write grants for. One of those was redesign of Huntington, to help write a grant to redesign Huntington, so it'll be shelf ready at some point when we have business people come in, or expansions will know exactly what to tell them how to construct the infrastructure. The other one was phase two of the Transit Center, just kind of help us work on that, and then the food truck area of the Transit Center. We have been unsuccessful so far in helping get that little bit of money, and so they're going to work on that primarily for phase one. Second of all, I want to let you know that we are working on construction docks for the sidewalk south of Finley. I've been working with Mid-State for the electrical piece of it to put lighting along Finley, along that sidewalk portion, and it looks like Mid-State is actually working with us really well. We got a really good bid from them to help bring in, if we put in conduit, they can do some lighting that will look really nice, and so we're working on that, and that looks like it might happen. Much to Councilman Shields' dismay, we are going to light up that sidewalk, so that is all I have. Oh, we have COIC luncheon. Oh, I think Tracy was going to let you know about that. But COIC luncheon is on Tuesday. And so far, I only have a couple of RSVPs. So let Tracy know if you're going. The city car is full. So you might have to send in a reimbursement or take your own transportation.
Where's that at?
Might have a seat if you want to go next, but you'll be at school.
Where's that at?
Redmond. It's a luncheon.
Redmond City Hall.
Anyway, that is all I have. Now I'm going to call.
I don't know, but this interference from the phone yes. thing is really bothering me. I don't know if you're playing a video game or if it's just what's going on, but this is very annoying to the council meeting.
Could she mute her side?
Oh, but when you move it, it goes away.
No, or, she might have just muted it.
I don't know what, but it's not a very good thing to no. communicate in this manner.
I think she muted it.
Yeah, I think she just muted her side.
Thank you so much, whatever happened. Okay, Jake, staff comments?
Yes, I just want to thank council for letting the robotics class come in. I had the pleasure of sitting with them in their classroom 2 weeks ago and helping them narrow down their focus. They have a presentation they have to give at the state level in their competition. Part of it is they have to pick a topic that's relevant to their community. And they had a list of topics, you know, one being the overpass and the skate park, a couple other things, and they kind of narrowed them and helped turn them towards that vandalism topic. I said, you know, this, and the overpass is way too big, let's not try to tackle that one. I don't really want to tackle it. So they focused on vandalism and how vandalism helps them get more, if they can keep the tabs on vandalism in their community. Less and less if they're investing in the assets they're putting into the city, and eventually they can start getting the things they really want. I mean, money, they mentioned. So I commend them. They didn't just come today to ask for more money, but they're giving more of what they've been doing with the money you've given them.
Thank you so much. Tracy?
Sorry, I stole a thunder.
Okay, so we're going to move into council and mayor comments. Connie Breeze, do you have any comments? Did we mute it or did she mute it?
Okay, I apologize for that.
Thank you. This is pretty much, it's a lot nicer conversing like this, Connie. Thank you so much. Do you have comments? No comments from Connie Breeze. Mike Shields?
Only to add what Jake was talking about, I was very impressed by the robotics class, and I feel like that was
really good for our kids and the way they presented that and learning to work. I think that was great. I would like to see more of that.
Hey, thank you so much, Mike. Don Greiner?
Well, as normal, I have a few things. I want you to know that the Bobcat that we ordered was delivered at the approved estimate cost of $67,341.67. We also paid our EDCO quarterly payment of $11,250. One thing that kind of jumped out at me is our landscaping cost us $3,169 for this last month. We also got a bill from Neighbor Impact for setting up our grant situation, and it's really an excellent investment because it takes away a lot of work from our office, and it cost $2,342.85. There was a temporary road grade for cable at $385, and again, I think that's a bargain because, you know, every once in a while, when you have a bad section of road, it doesn't cost that much just to send somebody out and take care of that one section once in a while. And I think we ought to be up to date as a council, and Jake, you too, to observe the, where the roads are. And I've ridden over most of the roads in Cagle, and there's some that are really nice. They're not bad at all. Then there's some that's got holes big enough for me to fall into. And so it's just good policy and to recognize that Cagle is a part of our community. The final bill for auditing the city of Lapine was $6,000. That was in the bill. What really kind of got me is they charged us $4,500 for the urban renewal audit. And I didn't think we had that much money in the whole urban renewal bank account. So it's a considerable amount of money for the amount of money that we spend. Anderson Perry, we just paid them $70,274.50. And that's for mostly for cable and cable and that. Most of that's covered by a grant, but I just want you to know it's money that's going out for our community. We had the highest bill from our attorney that we've had in some time. I went over it very carefully, and you know, there's a lot in it, and I think that at this time, it's something that necessary evil. The bill was $12,205. One of the things that got me is I went through all of the things that was being discussed, and somewhere along the line, we're looking at adult business. Evidently, somebody inquired about it in the city, and we're looking into whatever we need to do about that. The approved total of bills I did today was $206,189.08. So if you don't think it costs a lot of money to run this city, that shows you. The only other item that I wanted to bring up is I've had a complaint about the amount of private property that's being taken to provide the sidewalks on Finley Butte. And I understand that that there's 10 feet being taken off the front of some of the properties to do that. Is that true or not?
9 feet. We're requesting an easement, normal development standards. We're just telling them the cost of actually developing their property infrastructure. I'm surprised they didn't, I mean, I don't know who came to you. I'd like to know because we're trying to contact those people now. So if they're—
Yeah, I'll tell you afterwards.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I think that's enough for me.
Just one question on that note. Would it be the same amount of property, 9 feet, if they offered it to us or if we took it?
Well, semantics, I guess. We make the—
But I know we don't normally like take 15 feet and we're just asking—
No, nine
for
is what the transportation, the TSP says we need.
That's our normal amount.
Yes, that's the
right.
Normal for that street.
Yes, that's all I wanted to get out. That's normal.
We don't take more than
Right, that's normal.
Thank you so much.
Mike Carpenter.
I really don't have anything this evening.
Miller?
Got nothing.
Okay, for me, I just got a couple of things. One is the city received a certificate of appreciation from the people that had the powwow over here on the Frontier Days land. They would have given it to us sooner, but upon talking to them, they discovered that the money actually came from TRT funds and that was contributive to the city, not to the Chamber of Commerce, who they thought they were getting the money from, and they were never told that the money comes from the city. So upon them realizing that, they gave us a certificate of appreciation also for the city's contribution to the success of their powwow. So I just wanted everybody to know that we got a certificate from the powwow people, and they thanked us for helping them be a success. Other than that, that's pretty much everything that I got to say. If there's anything else, nothing else. Okay, then this ends our council meeting.